is a story as told to me a couple years ago. The man was angry, and the sun was literally beginning to set on his smoldering offense. Technically, he was absolutely correct, and he knew it. Oh, and they, yeah, the infamous they, didn't perceive how poorly they had treated him and others. And they were so smug about their position with no sign on the horizon of any repentance. And this wasn't the first time, either. Those couple people never, to his knowledge, ever backed up from anything, even if they were obviously, factually, spiritually wrong. In the past, he'd been tight-lipped, held his peace, just nodded gracefully, thinking, "The Lord will fix this." 2 years went by and God had not fixed anything that he could see. And there those believers were, still stiffly walking around, always seeming to point out their self-made crowns, wearing their I-know suits, apparently thriving in their self-generated authority. Strut, strut, strut. Oh man, he'd had it. He was just done with their abuse of authority. So, rather than go speak face to face as a Christ-like man who was interested in resolving the conflict, he did the cowardly thing and sent them an email, which is sort of like blasting someone from around the corner because you don't have the courage to stand face to face. He typed furiously, backspaced with burning indignation because what he was saying was entirely too caustic, even for him in his anger. With each letter, he hit the keyboard just a little too hard, especially the period. Take that, and that. And here's another angry period to go with the last one. Without even reviewing what he had typed, he hit the enter or send key extra hard, as if all his displeasure would somehow be communicated in the reading of the final period. In the instant, I'm telling you, in the nanosecond instant he hit send, his own voice of reason screamed in his mind, "No, take it back. But it was too late, baby. It was gone, gone, gone. He quickly was drowning in thoughts like, "Oh my gosh, what have I done?" So he picked up the phone and frantically dialed their number. The terrible wait just went on and on. This was horrible. Just horrible. How could he have let those terrible words out of his fingers onto the virtual page and then actually did the unthinkable and sent the message? Suddenly, a very sedate-sounding voice answered the phone.
"Hello?"
With all humility, he told them the situation and said,
"Whatever you do, don't open that email."
There was an uncomfortable pause. Then the voice on the other end said calmly,
"Well, thanks for calling, but we've already opened it. I'll get back to you, I guess. I gotta go."
The phone went silent, and he felt like Jonah in the belly of the whale, out of air and 8 miles below the surface of the ocean under the bone-crushing weight of thousands of tons of water. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Our words are like that. Once they leave our lips, they are out. Often we speak either jokingly about things we should not joke about. Maybe that time we offered mundane words of indifference or angry words without any thought about where they will go and what they'll accomplish. Once they're out, they're out, and you can't take it back. There is no undo button. Proverbs 18:19-21. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. From the fruit of a man's mouth his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. My wife, in her brilliant wisdom, told me once, "Sometimes another person's entire world can hinge on something as seemingly simple as the tone in our voice." In our efforts to be straight up, we can also be so transparent we come off as being cut and dried, to the point, and it's very off-putting. We are then easily perceived as cutting and irritated. We don't mean to, and maybe it's the absolute truth, and we're only being very focused and passionate about what we're talking about. We say we're trying to muddle through what's in our cloudy head, but still, that is no good reason to be unfiltered and bufferless. Many of us who walk with the Lord have been given a very powerful voice among people in general. They listen to us and even try and act like us. We are an example of life with Christ to them. So we've really got to get better at our filters and buffers, thinking before we act, not getting swept out to sea on a riptide of arrogant judgment and anger. If we're intent on presenting the Lord with the hopes of imparting peace and hope, then we're going to have to represent His heart in His tone of voice with His tonal inflections. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous and harsh words stir up anger. The word soft used there doesn't mean weak or faint, but gentle and kind. And the word harsh literally is a picture of imparted, stabbing sorrow, which brings grief, breeding turmoil and bitterness. Yes, we all realize the other person is choosing to allow the words to affect them that way. But truly, friends, we need not make opportunity for them to have to choose like that. Once we say those words or hit that enter button, it is gone, baby, gone. And we can grieve, yell, scream, throw ourselves on the floor in agonizing regret, be mad at ourselves all we want, but we can't take them back. From there, our next option is to get low. Repent, go to the other person or persons, and regardless of how mad they are, you just stay low, not raising your hands in explanation or justification. At this point, we are resolving conflict, not defending our position. We love to be the example of how to succeed in the kingdom of God. We should also be the example of how to repent, too. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has a great power as it is working. That part about the prayers of a righteous person having a great power? Yeah, that isn't just about doing great miracles and walking around with people calling your name and clapping their hands. Yes. It's about how we conduct ourselves in exaltation, but also how we are an example of humility and repentance. If you're familiar with the situation previously stated, be encouraged to let the offended party talk. Let them say all their hurt and disappointment without you joining the ranks of the offended. Let us be the example of how we not only prosper, but also take the high road of humility, grace, and kindness. What do you think? Thanks for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.